Thank you very much, Dr. Whitehead. We will now give Kevin Phillips an opportunity to respond to the reactions, and then we will open the discussion to your questions from the floor. Kevin?
Well, needless to say, I have a couple of disagreements with some of the analyses of my analysis. But let me just take them one by one and do it fairly briefly. The first, on the great battle being in the universities rather than the media, I submit that there are so relatively many academics and such a behemoth in terms of the academic intellectual structure that if you took 30 or 40 people in this room, or any 30 or 40 conservatives nominated by the people in this room, and dropped them into Harvard and Stanford and Yale and Columbia, would swallow them up like quicksand, and it would just be one more group of people buying national reviews in Harvard Square. I think that's a joke. The media and the universities up until the 1920s reflected the industrial and commercial power structure of manufacturing and industry very well. And if you've read people like Eric Goldman on the history of reform and everything like that, the universities were against all the attempt to break the iron chain of ideas and so forth. They were bastions of the status quo. Well, the bastions of the status quo now, but they're also, the status quo is essentially liberal. And I think, unfortunately, there's no way you can take people that deal in ideas when ideas have achieved a very substantial dominance over manufacturing and assume that you're going to have a conservative intelligentsia in the knowledge industry. I just think it's impossible now that the knowledge industry has achieved the magnitude it has. And we heard about the space situation and telecommunications and all of that. There's no way you put Humpty Dumpty together again and go back to a point where an academe is going to relate back into the old structure. It's gotten loose. The people that orchestrate and articulate everything it says really are the media. The ideas that may be pernicious when voiced in Langdell Hall in the Harvard Law School achieve their full dynamic impact only when muscled through the cathodes or linotypes. They don't get it up there. Well, now the second point, which I really think is the best criticism made, and as I said, in some measures, I raise some of those as a gadfly, even though I would basically move in that general direction. I make no bones in saying I would. But when Mr. Gavin makes the point, which I think is entirely correct, and he did note that I said in a political vacuum, he's right about the politics of the thing. Conservatives who want to talk about establishments and Adam Smith and all that don't like to home in on doing a job on the media issue. And there isn't any sign they're doing the job now, and the net result is they're letting the media, broadcasting, magazines, so forth, call the shots on most of the legislation that's of any interest. And it's quite true. There'd be no chance at this point to get any serious changes. What's necessary is to start putting that issue right up front and start asking candidates where they stand on media monopolies, where they stand on doing something about these people, where they stand on controlling the power of these people through whatever device to lay it on us like they've laid it on us in the last 5 years. You've got to start raising the issue. And I'm assuming that people here are interested in raising some of these issues, even if largely in their own terms. Now, as far as the lack of politicians to raise these, of course, Spiro had to go and drop it all over himself, so there's nobody to pick up that banner. But on the other hand, there are a few national politicians that are more than willing to hit hard on this one. I had dinner with John Connolly one time, people, and we were talking about the media. And there's a man willing to lay it on him, I'll tell you. He sits there talking about nobody elected Walter Cronkite and laughing about how nice it would be if John Chancellor and Cronkite were listening to the election returns in Indiana, waiting to see who carried the state so they could talk to the people there. Loser would have to go hustle a job somewhere else. It was a joke, it was laughing, but I mean, there are politicians that have a sense of time to start dealing with the media. Now, the last thing in terms of the fact that the media would dominate any regulation of the media. Frankly, at this point, I don't see General Motors dominating Ralph Nader. I haven't seen the drug industry howling. They howl about everything, controlling the Food and Drug Administration. I haven't seen all the companies that are so unhappy about pollution controlling the EPA. I'm not aware they control the Consumer Product Safety Commission. As I understand it, they're going nuts with the EEOC. The fact that we do have an FCC, which takes its hormone count from the eunuchs that were hired for Turkish pashas doesn't necessarily mean that that has to be the way it is. I think it's quite possible to replicate situations in the past where major industries that have gotten out of hand have really been clipped. Now, in terms of their power, the railroads were really clipped. The banks, in terms of their links to the investment community, were very severely clipped by the Glass-Steagall Act in 1933. Public utilities are certainly clipped in terms of their power to do odd things, not in terms of their profits, perhaps. The stock exchange was regulated in the 1930s, can never go back to the practices of the 1920s. So that while it is true that you get a symbiosis when you establish a regulatory process, typically the early stage of that regulatory process does succeed in getting rid of a lot of the more extreme and outrageous practices. And I think it's funny that conservatives get such a kick out of talking about getting rid of the ICC and the CAB, because in that particular case, they find themselves right in bed with Fred Harris and Teddy Kennedy. And because that's the easy stuff, and it suits all the nice little theories that you can get out of National Review, but if you want to do something that actually has some teeth, start going after the EEOC and EPA and Consumer Product Safety Commission and all of those that really hogtie business for social goals, not ones that are just handmaidens of some industry whose real enemies are the Fred Harrises. Now, last, in terms of antitrust regulation, I agree with Tom Whitehead on the importance of that. And I would say that if I thought the politics of the matter were such that we could get really good antitrust laws, breaking these combinations up, I'd be all for that, because I think that's clearly the first step. And if you break them up and you have all these competing voices, then the probability is that on a number of things you'll get sufficient disparity of comments and analyses and documentaries that you won't have quite the same problem. Although I think we might agree, if we got into a technical analysis, that there's a certain sensationalism and blood and gore and sex and violence you're going to be very hard put to get rid of, because that, frankly, is what turns the American people on, and that there isn't any short way around that. And there may be necessary to have certain regulations there simply because it could get to be a problem if we have to watch Charles Manson every night and you've got to send the kids to bed at 6:30. I mean, that's not necessarily the best idea around. But I do agree that the antitrust thing should be the principal focus, and anybody that's criticizing an overall approach towards a tough-minded view of the media and the regulatory strictness, or the idea that I want to land on them, which I do, fine, criticize it by effectively and articulately advocating strong antitrust measures against these people. If you can't find out of conservative doctrine a coherent approach towards diminishing their power in any particular respect, in other words, take one of the solutions and advocate that, but if you can't, out of this whole mass of doctrine, find one effective means of dealing with the media, well, then I think it's something you really ought to look at as to whether or not the doctrine has enough horsepower to go above bicycle speed. Now, I think conservatism can come up with some of these solutions, but I strongly urge you to think in terms of picking a couple of them and really running with them, because otherwise the power of these people is just rapidly getting out of hand, and you've got to confront this in some way or another.